Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Your weight is not your fault, even if you've been trying to lose weight for years. Meet Calibrate, the science-backed program that proves sustainable weight loss does not come from willpower. It's about biology. Calibrate works differently by addressing metabolic factors with FDA-approved, doctor-prescribed medications and one-on-one video coaching. Our earliest Calibrate members lost 14% of their body weight on average. Go to joincalibrate.com for availability and eligibility and get $50 off Calibrate's metabolic reset when you use code JOIN.
Things I thought could never happen. Me in a punk band?
What?
We Are Lady Parts, a new original comedy streaming only on Peacock.
A confused mix of hash anthems and sour girl power.
Syrah, vocals. Aisha, drummer. Bisma, bassist. Mumtaz, band manager. And me, Amina, lead guitar.
You were really good until you puked all over the front row. Ew.
We Are Lady Parts. All episodes streaming now. Only on Peacock.
In the first half, we'll catch you up on the weekend travel, Baltimore, Philly. Dan Dunn's going to hang out, have some libations. First, there's Geico. Do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
We're back inside the toolbox on another super set of the 70s hits brought to you by Olive Garden. Olive Garden, when you're here, you can always find a seat because no one eats here. Ever. Welcome to the first Monday of Daylight Losing Time. Set your clocks back, Jack. You get to sleep in, Jim. But it gets dark at 5, Clive, and that ain't no jive. So hop out of bed, Ned, and give thanks you ain't dead. Wake up if you like, Mike. At least you're alive. It's time for seasonal depressive disorder to kick in. It's going to be a long winter, but at least you got us. The greatest hits of all time are on the toolbox.
Problem is all inside your head, she said to me. The answer is easy if you take it logically. I'd like to help you in your struggle to be free. There must be 50 ways to leave a lover.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, William Shatner. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Dan Dunn drops in for a liquor tasting. And now, people accuse him of being on the Trump train, but this weekend, he was officially on the Biden train. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but get on. Mandate, you get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We'd love that about you, right, Gina? Well, Gina will be here in a moment or two. She'll do some news. We got Bald Brian. I have a 13-inch hog. Is that normal? And Dan Dunn back. Yeah. He's brought his libations.
Yes.
I literally just came from the airport from Dan's old neighborhood and came straight on into work. So we were in Magoobies, or playing Magoobies. That was in Baltimore. And then we went to Philly and played the Keswick Theater, which is near Dan's old neighborhood, right, Dan?
It is, yeah. Did you bring back any vitriol with you? Anger? Tension?
No. Keswick is nice. A beautiful town. It's about 40 minutes outside of the middle of Philly. It's a nice... These places, Detroit's this way, Philly's this way. You know, when you get outside a little bit, you can get in some decent neighborhoods. So we did that. We took the train. We took the Biden train. We took the one that, we went from Baltimore to Philly, but I guess he would go to Delaware. But anyway, we're on that same train that he always talks about, the Amtrak train, going back and forth. So, and I was working with Lynch on the book on the train. So that's how the Biden thing came
about. Was Lynch there
or
was it over the phone?
It was over the phone.
Perfect.
So
always over the phone.
He was
no matter where you are, always over the phone.
He said, "Home, I'm on the road. I was going to be in a train for an hour, so I thought, well, we could get something done." So went there, went to the Simian Museum. they had a thing. They did a tribute to Willie T. Ribbs there, and it just turned out to be perfect timing that the Simeon Automotive Museum, which has some of the most prestigious Le Mans vintage race cars ever, was doing a thing with Willie that started at like 3 or something. So right when we blew into town. So Mike and I went over there. Chris went to the theater to get set up, got up, got ourselves that hour this morning.
That's
man.
Huge.
That was
especially about traveling.
That was huge because we left the we did the show at the Keswick. We went back to Philly, did dinner at about 11 at night, got out of there about 1 a.m. We're going to meet in the lobby at 7 a.m. So that was a good hour we got. Still not enough.
I have two observations I'd like to make. First, you mentioned dinner. I just want to point out that you owe me dinner. I don't know if you're aware of this, but at one point during our recent Vegas excursion, invited me to go out to dinner. And
I have no recollection.
I don't think you were ready for dinner by the end of that show, but I'm still holding you to that. Secondly, these new chairs you have here, it's interesting to be doing a liquor segment because I feel like a small child. My feet aren't touching anything, so my legs are dangling like a child, and we're about to drink.
I remember the, remember when you were a kid? I don't think they have them anymore. Do they have them, the booster chairs they put at the restaurants?
That's what I feel like I'm on a booster chair right now.
So how far is Keswick from where you grew up?
Well, I grew up in a neighborhood called Frankfort, which is a very rough neighborhood. That's where I was young. And then we moved up to the northeast part of Philadelphia, which is really probably 25 minutes away. Not too far at all. Yeah, my mom still lives there.
Crazy mom?
Yeah, was she at the show by any chance? No. She would have been with Jim Morrison. She's married to him.
I would have known if your mom was there. I mean, your mom, not anyone else's mom.
You absolutely
would have known.
You would have noticed her. She probably would have been wearing a nightgown. You didn't like to get dressed up.
House coat?
Yeah, what's it? Yeah, it's a good.
We had some interesting times on the road. I think Mike may have beat himself because August because of in the food department, because we took the train. Now we were in Timonium, which is where Magoobies is, which is in Baltimore, outside of Baltimore. But Timonium is 20-25 minutes outside of Baltimore, and there's nothing. There's no Starbucks. There's no malls. There's no food courts. It's pretty kind of, it's corporate headquarter esque, and there's nothing going on there. But Magoobies is there, and that's fine. But we had nothing to do, and we had we had a train. It was leaving about 1:30, so I said, "Well, why don't we go to Baltimore a little early? And then we can find a sports bar or something and hang out a little bit because there's nothing to do where we are 20 minutes outside of Baltimore." So we found we went in about 20 minutes early, found the train station, found a sports bar. And now it's like noon and OK, we'll get a beer. We'll wait and then we'll go get our train. But then it was like, what do we eat? Do we get some wings? Do we get some fries? Do we get a burger? It wasn't really lunchtime. It was kind of past breakfast. People were working pretty late the night before. We did two shows at Magoobies. And came time for Mike to order. Now, I wasn't going to order anything, or if I was going to order anything, I would have got chop salad or something or whatever. Probably not a chop salad. Sports bar fare. I would have got
Baltimore
some sliders.
Baltimore is famous for their chop salad. By the way. Everybody knows that.
Yeah. Mike,
town.
What did Mike get, Chris?
Mike ordered eggplant parmesan.
Oh, wow. Bold move.
Parmesan at a sports bar at noon. And a huge pile of pasta and eggplant parmesan showed up. And I was like, Mike, no one's ever even ordered. How is it even on the menu?
Yeah, that sounds like it was a goof.
Yeah. Now, Mike ordered eggplant parmesan to eat in Baltimore at a sports bar.
Is that a big piece of jack cheese or Swiss cheese melted on top?
First off,
what is that?
How good can the eggplant parm be at a sports bar in Baltimore, and then Mike does what Mike always has to do, is he has to chop everything up.
What a child.
It's super annoying with pasta, because he cuts all the pasta.
Sure.
He took the eggplant parmesan, he completely, defenestrated it. Wait, what is it?
Defenestrate is a word.
Defenestrate. He threw it out a window. The point is, he pummeled it. He just destroyed it with his knife.
And you're on your way to Philadelphia from this.
Right.
See, that's a big mistake right there, because I would be saving room for the Philly cheesesteak.
Always room.
You got to do.
Mike's always got
room. Always room.
He could eat that giant plate of pasta and then eat a Philly cheesesteak?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah, we ended up at a steakhouse that night. And we ended up at the steakhouse. Mike caught it, where they filmed The Sixth Sense.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, in Philly.
Yeah, so
wait, what scene?
I didn't have a recollection of it.
The interior of the restaurant here.
But,
so it was an old bank.
Oh, that, I see dead people
old,
there.
It was an old
scene.
Bank.
Yeah, that's the place.
And
yeah.
They were playing jazz, and it was beautiful.
Oh, it wasn't a restaurant in the movie.
It was in the movie. According to Mike, found the movie on the plane, on the flight home, and had to match the scene up from where were. Well, we're on the plane for 6 hours. Yeah.
That's it right there.
Oh, when he comes to anniversary dinner or whatever, and she gets up and leaves.
Right, right.
Yeah, so we were asking the waiter about
the Italian restaurant I asked you to marry me in.
Why won't she answer him?
Yeah, so we were asking the waiter about the restaurant. He was telling us. They filmed, like, Adam Sandler was just here filming. Wow. And also, they filmed the Sixth Sense here. And Mike just went, I knew it.
Mike knew it
when he got in.
I'll tell you this. So when you leave Philly, when you're going through the airport, you're on the People Mover. They have lined up all the posters of all the movies, The Sixth Sense and Creed.
Any number of Shyamalan movies.
Rocky. Yeah, okay. Everything else. But sandwich in between The Sixth Sense and Rocky and Creed is Mannequin.
Oh, that's right.
My feeling is you don't have to put every movie that was filmed here. You put the notable movies. Yeah. I'm sure they made a couple of snuff films in the 50s there. They don't need to be represented at the airport. It was just Mannequin, like the worst 80s movie of all time, just right in between Rocky 1 and Creed.
John Wanamaker, that's the name of the department store where they filmed Mannequin.
Oh, really?
That's where they shot it. Kim Cattrall. I mean, what would be the bet? Obviously Rocky, which is real. I mean, he's a real person. And Philadelphia, great movie. That 12 Monkeys was shot in Philadelphia.
Sure. Yeah, they're all on the wall next to Mannequin.
Mannequin. Come on.
All right.
So you had Andrew McCarthy on the show.
I have.
Did you call him out about Mannequin when he was on?
I'll say no, yes, maybe.
His career. He was just every movie was Andrew McCarthy back then.
So what'd you bring us? What libations?
So I realized in all the time we've been doing this, we have never done a liqueur segment. And I love liqueur.
Mm-hmm.
Liqueur is liquor that's sweetened, generally. Mm-hmm. It's some sort of sugar or something in there. And there are so many great liqueurs. And a lot of times, liqueur, which are formerly known, back in the day, they would call them cordials. Cordials, which I think is very sophisticated.
Oh, nice.
For instance, Adam in Vegas a couple weeks ago
mm-hmm.
was not drinking. He was not sipping cordials.
No.
He was slamming whiskey.
That's
which
right.
Is a whole different connotation.
I was overserved.
Yeah,
that wasn't my fault.
So it was not your fault. All I can say is when I sat down to get on the thing, I looked over and I saw something I'd never seen before. It was a mixture of glee and bewilderment going on with you and all the lights of Vegas in the background. And I was like, oh, this is going to be interesting next 30 minutes or so.
Yes.
And it was. You did not disappoint. I was drunk too, but by comparison, I was a judge. So
yes.
I was a judge there. All right, liqueur. Known as cordials back in the day, you know, a lot of times it's a mixing agent, but a lot of these you can drink on your own. And so I brought in five that we're going to bang through here. We got the first one is called Chinola, okay? And this is made with passion fruit in the Dominican Republic. It's the name of – that's what they call passion fruit in the DR, Chinola. This is a delicious brand launched in 2013. Each bottle of this contains roughly 6 whole passion fruits. You're going to get a lot of that flavor. Did you try it yet?
Yeah, it's delectable.
It tastes like my Hawaii passion fruit margarita or whatever. It's I'm back.
I'm angry
so
at passion fruit in general, but because they've ruined tea. But this tastes very good.
This is, an absolutely delicious drink. on its own, we're sipping it right now on the rocks, which is kind of a good way to get your day going. And but you could put this in, I think if you put this in some with some sparkling wine, sort of a mimosa-type situation going on here, it is $33 a bottle. Again, all estate-made in the Dominican Republic. The fruit's all grown down there. Are you a passion fruit fan, Brian? I always worry because there's a lot of things you don't like.
Oh, no, I love passion fruit. You like do. Actual, real, like from the islands passion fruit, because like Adam has this, you know, the rant about passion fruit, the idea being that it's just become this catch-all for generically sweet. Like, oh, passion fruit, soda. It's like, no, it's
deodorant.
Just,
yeah.
It's just
yeah,
sweet.
No. Yeah.
But actual, like Lilikoi passion fruit, awesome.
You know, passion fruit's actually a berry, classified as a berry. It's called Pepo.
I don't know that I've ever bought passion fruit, sliced it up, and eaten it raw. I've just had it ruin my iced tea, but fine.
This one's great, too. It doesn't – you don't have a lot of acidity in this, which you can get a lot of times. And it could really go in a lot of drinks. I think you could put this Chinola in a lot of different stuff. It's got a good-looking bottle.
Put some tequila and lime in there and you're yourself a margarita.
You could do it up. Yeah. You could totally do it up. A spicy margarita would be good. A daiquiri, I think, would be a really good thing for this drink. Also, if you did like a white sangria, basically as a flavoring agent for almost anything, but also straight up neat.
Where do you get this stuff at Trader Joe's?
Yeah,
you get
anywhere.
It anywhere?
Yeah, you can get this everywhere. Everything I brought here today. Oh, I know what it is you don't like. You don't like ginger, right?
I don't have a problem.
What do you not like?
Grapefruit.
Grapefruit.
Don't like
that's
grapefruit.
It. Yeah, all right. I didn't bring anything grapefruit.
Good.
Yeah, but you're good with passion fruit.
Love it.
Okay.
This is great.
So we're off to a good start.
Chinola with
tastes
a C.
Great.
Now, we have an issue here today because we have this giant table. Gina is normally next to me and we pass.
Yes.
We pass things along. I don't know how I'm going to do this. Oh,
look. Oh, we got Gina
Jr. I was, here comes Gina looking like Chris. All right, so we want to move on to the next one?
Please. Sure.
All right, we got, am I excited for this one. This is one of my favorites. It's called Amarula, right? Amarula is from South Africa. There's only one place in the world where the marula tree grows, and that is in South Africa. One time a year that the fruit from the marula tree comes down, and that's at the height of summertime. This is a tree that is protected by the government of South Africa. You can't do anything with your trees. You can't cultivate these trees. People have tried. They only grow where they want to grow.
Okay.
And Amarula's been around since 1989. What's also interesting is when the fruit's ready, how they know it's time to harvest is elephants go batshit for this stuff. They love it. Mm-hmm. So once the elephants start to migrate towards the Amarula trees, they know that it's time
ready to go.
Take them away from the elephants. Yeah.
They can't cultivate it. You mean you can't just
you can't
plant
you can't
it in
plant
backyard?
The trees anyway. Yeah, they only grow where they
and they don't know
grow.
When the fruit's ready. There's a lot of mystery around this fruit. Now, in 2021, I think we could figure this out. Yeah. I think we have the science to figure out when fruit is ready, but we got to rely on elephants.
So the other thing about this is
it's like superstition.
Yes.
They called it the elephant tree, the marula tree. They also call it the marriage tree because it's got a really nice canopy. Oh, and I guess a lot of people locally get married there. Mm-hmm. Like anything, when you're trying to sell something, the way to sell it is to say that it helps you get a boner. You know, they say it's very aphrodisiac
right.
here.
Ah, yes.
So this one, they claim, also happens. But I think you're going to love this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So let's...
What's the alcohol content on this?
This one is 17%, so it's low. And that's generally what you're going to get with liqueur. It's going to be usually about half of what – so that's 34 proof.
Yeah, so the beer is 5%, and sometimes some of those IPAs are 8%, and then wine is 17 to 21 or 22 or something like that. So it's 17. It's kind of,
but by
it's kind of like
but
wine.
But by volume, that's the thing. This is a 750-mil bottle, so by volume – so it's a lot less alcohol, kind of 34 proof. But what do you think of it?
Yeah, it's good. I got a boner.
I was going to say, I'm too messy. It's like Irish cream. It's like Bailey's, but I imagine it's probably higher quality.
This would be good in a hot buttered rum.
Yep.
We're getting holidays coming.
Ooh,
I think a lot of holiday cocktails. This is a great, I think this is a really great alternative to Bailey's. You're doing a lot of that stuff. What I like about this is there's sort of a nutty flavor, but also you get that sweetness from the fruit. It's a fascinating.
Just put a kick ass in your coffee.
Yeah,
right.
It's got a hazelnut creamer.
So we're gonna have Mr. Black coffee liqueur. I actually want to do a little experimenting and pour some of that into here at some point. Ooh. Just see how that works. $20 a bottle for this.
That's a nice.
The Amarula. Yeah, I mean it's just something that you just want to have, you want to sip. And again, the holidays to me, it just seems like sitting around, you got a fire going, you know, Thanksgiving, you just have a little bit of this after dinner.
A little hot cocoa, a little coffee, just pour right in.
You could do a lot. I think coffee, you nailed it. Mm-hmm. I think any sort of a hot alcohol drink, I think this would enhance it. So
it's good.
That's really yummy. That could go down quite easily.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, again, you'd have to drink a lot of it to get buzzed on this.
Just I'm happy to.
It's got, I don't know what it would do with eggnog, but it's kind of interesting.
Oh, boy. I was thinking about that because I was going to say to Chris, if we do one before the holidays, it's got to be eggnog because I know you love eggnog.
I do. I mean, it's all so much sugar, but I love the, what's the company does it in the glass bottle?
Oh, yeah, I forget. You brought it in
something
before.
Something with a B. Yeah, it's kind of
You mean
nice.
A ready-made eggnog? Something?
Yeah, ready-made. I'm saying, like, I don't know. I kind of like when I buy my heavy cream or eggnog or something like that, I go for the glass bottle.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's a higher – everything's just a higher grade when it's in a glass bottle.
I mean, I love – I think homemade is the way to go with eggnog. I was thinking maybe we do something where we do a bunch of different variations on eggnog. Because you can impress people at parties. I think if you had this out – instead of, because when else do people bust out Baileys, right? It's just usually,
right.
Does anybody drink it at any time other than the holidays?
No,
I think so.
I think kids in parks.
Oh, my dad. My dad has it on ice.
Oh, your dad?
Yeah, but he's the only person I know who's ever just, you know, drank
like
all
just in the, like, the summer, he's sitting out on the porch.
Well, after dinner drink, typically.
Yeah. Baileys just feels been there and done that. This feels like a much more interesting story.
And cheaper than Baileys, too. I don't know what Baileys is, probably about 30-some bucks a bottle, right? This is $20, sure. So it's not a bad deal at all. So now we're going to move on to one that I really excited for you guys to try. It's a smaller brand out of Brooklyn, New York, a guy named Joshua Morton, who I've known for a long time, started making this in his kitchen, basically, for 10 years. It's called Barrow's. Here we go. Barrow's Intense Ginger Liqueur.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And this is obviously something that is made for mixing, but we're going to try it neat too, which is absolutely delicious as well. It's got a cool bottle with the – there we go. Thank you, Chris.
I like ginger. It's great for a can too. This would be lovely.
This is very mom and pop shop. I mean, he started making this commercially back in 2013, and it's still only two guys on the production end and four people working in the tasting room. That's all there is.
Where do you get it?
Available in 42 states. You can get it online. He's got a tasting room in Brooklyn.
Wow.
So they use about a quarter pound of fresh ginger per bottle to make this stuff.
Yeah.
And only four ingredients. It's water, sugar, and neutral cane sugar, and fresh ginger. There's no preservatives, additives, no bullshit in this. I mean, this is some good stuff. It's $33 a bottle. Take a sip here. What do you guys think?
By nature of what this is, this tasting, these are some of the best tasting drinks you've ever run in here.
Aren't they great? Yeah. I mean, I was excited about this one because you can't really go wrong here. They use two types of fresh ginger here. They use a Hawaiian varietal that's grown in China, and then they some organic ginger from Peru. On the rocks is how Josh recommends tasting it, but you could also do this in an old fashioned.
Oh, interesting. Mm.
This is a component you could add to a lot of drinks.
Good.
To
make them really good.
Kind of stand out.
And you can taste the fresh ginger. I mean, you can taste.
Yeah, no, this is a quality product, and you know it can be. I think this is kind of one of those bar basics things that you should have, because you can spruce up any drink with a really good liqueur like this.
Mm-hmm.
You might just go, I got a little vodka, I got a little bit.
How much is it?
$33 a bottle.
Well, that's not bad.
And you could put this, you mentioned tea, you could put this as a, put this in your tea on a cold day.
Yeah, this go well with the tequila or a margarita as well.
Yeah.
Wine enthusiasts gave this 93 points.
It's pretty excellent.
The highest rated ginger liqueur on the market. And I know
you're good.
Yeah.
It's good. It's all good. I mean, it's, you know, how can you go wrong?
No, this is delicious. Now, what we're going to have here, New York Times just did a big piece on this, one of the hottest liqueur brands in the world out of Australia, Mr. Black Cold Brew Coffee Liqueur. Okay.
Mm.
And this stuff is just wildly popular.
Artisanal Kahlua.
Wow.
So, basically, their slogan is coffee after dark, is how they do this. So, this is from Australia, where coffee's tremendously popular over there. The beans are from Ethiopia, Colombia, and Papua New Guinea.
Ooh.
The distillery's just north of Sydney, Australia. Founded in 2013. you can do this thing straight or on the rocks is what we're doing right now, but in an espresso martini, right. Espresso martini, an old fashioned, a white Russian. You could just pour some cream
goddamn
over this.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. How is it?
Hey, listen up, everyone. Let's say you got a kid in soccer early in the morning on Saturdays, or a daughter who's playing volleyball, and you know, you want to spice things up a little, but you want to have the guise
take
of the iced
off.
Coffee drink.
Yes.
This is your masquerade right here.
Oh my God!
It's really good, and it's just all it is cold brew coffee and wheat vodka. That's how they make it. I want to try.
It's like syrupy and delicious.
I'm going to try a little bit of this Amarillo. I'm going to pour it in here if you guys want to try it. I think this could work. Let me see here. Look, it already looks good here. I'm going to see what this Amarillo in the.
You can give me mine or whatever. Yeah, I got.
Oh, shit. Left. Yeah. Jesus. Yeah. That's like a milkshake.
Yeah.
That's so good. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
$40 a bottle for the Mr. Black.
Excelsior! Yeah. This is delicious.
Isn't that good? Mm.
Dan, this is you're four for a glowing four.
I'm going to try some. I'm going to go really crazy. I'm going to put a little chinola in there as well.
Go for Harry
Buffalo.
Here
we go. I don't think the ginger will work, but I'm going to do a little chinola in here. Let me do this. I see. All right. Let's try this. I like to push it to the point where I'm like, nah. All right.
Yeah, this is good.
Let's see. All right. Here we go. Fuck.
Yeah, that's really
goddamn good.
It's
better
good.
Without the chinola in it because just because the passion fruit, I think, sort of clashes a little bit with the coffee.
That.
Okay. Now, we've done a lot of these newer ones. Now we got to do a little history here. This is one we all know and we all love. I'm sure your father must be familiar with this one. Drambuie.
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 It was always the bottle in the back of the bar that had all the dust on it. But
I mean, you know, what's the drink? Do you know the drink? What's the most famous drink made with Drambuie?
I don't know. I know Drambuie.
The Rusty Nail.
Really?
The Rusty Nail is one part Drambuie, two parts Scotch.
Oh,
it was a Prohibition era cocktail, but it was popularized by the Rat Pack. They all loved the Rusty Nail. Rusty Drambuie has been around since 1745. Bonnie Prince Charlie, very famous guy in Scotland, lost the battle, had to escape, apparently left the secret recipe for Drambuie behind with somebody, and to this day, they say there's only three people in the world that know the recipe.
Is that the name of a family? Where does Drambuie come from? It's like it's
funny
crazy,
you should say that. I did a little
name.
Research
like
here. Andrach, I'm trying to, my Gaelic is bad, but Drambuie, which means the drink that satisfies.
Oh, okay.
And Chris left. I guess he apparently didn't feel it was necessary to help with the Drambuie.
Yes.
It's all right. You don't worry. You probably got stuff to do over there. So while he's coming back in, I'll tell you, again, one part Drambuie, two parts Scotch to make a Rusty Nail, which anybody who's a serious drinker has to have a Rusty Nail at some point in their life. America's where the Rusty Nail gained fame. Again, made during Prohibition, but the Rat Pack – everybody started drinking. This is 80 proof, by the way. This is full on.
So they would So they would do two part whiskey, the Rat Pack, and one part Drambuie.
And by the way, Drambuie is made with Scotch as well. Here you go.
Doubling down.
Yeah, it's here we go. Let me get that there.
Gina, by the way, is running. I mean, Andy did the LA Marathon, right?
Indeed, postponed till today.
Oh, it was postponed
last year. It
was
usually like a spring, isn't it? Isn't it usually like an April thing?
I don't know.
Or something?
It's probably like some COVID thing, right? Well,
that's what I'm guessing.
Let's try this Drambuie. Right. Are you ready? Here we go. Let's get this on. I mean, this is classic.
Ooh.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's
and
nice.
It's, yeah. Hmm.
Tastes like kissing my grandma.
It's from the Isle of Skye, which is one of my favorite areas of Scotland, up in the northwest part of Scotland. That's where they make Talisker. I think we've had Talisker here on the show before. I mean, you get a little bit of that sweetness.
It.
Yeah, it's got honey as the other key ingredient, and some herbs and spices. Again, they're very secretive about the recipe for Drambuie.
Mm-hmm.
But this with a little bit of Scotch in it. Yeah. $30, Ace. $30 on this.
Well, that's inexpensive.
So all of this, you could buy all five of these for, I think, under $120, all five of them.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
They're all good.
And it's good, and you should just have them, like, you know, at your house for party, conversations, whatever. Yeah.
You're 100% right. Question for Dan. I've always wondered, do liqueurs need to be refrigerated, and if so, which ones?
No. In fact, I specifically was asking Josh Morton, who does Barrows. I said, once you open it, how long does it last? He said it last years, but if you've got it for years, you're doing something wrong.
Sure,
I want you to drink it. You do not need to refrigerate it. Some people do. Some people, you can put them in the freezer. Okay. Any one of these, you could probably put in the freezer and get it. Personally, I like to keep my stuff at room temperature. You don't have to. You don't have to refrigerate these, but I like to keep them
like the Irish cream or like the creamy drinks.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. The Amarula. Refrigerate that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Amarula refrigerate. I brought that in chilled already, but the other ones, yeah, just put them behind your bar.
All right. Let me give Dan a plug and do a plug myself. By the way, what we're drinking with Dan Dunn, and there's a live show.
Yes. Mm. This Friday.
Yeah. Where's that? NYC?
The Stand Comedy Club in New York City. Ooh, we're going to be there this Friday night, November 12th. Big J Okerson, who was just on your show not long ago. Big J, Justin Silver, Nasir Marrera, Brad Jaffe, and other guests will be swinging by. We're doing a happy hour event there.
Nice.
If you're in the city, come and please tap me on the shoulder and say, hey, I listen to you on the Corolla Show, and I will probably push you away.
All right. Let me, by the way, Bill Shatner is going to be in the second hour, and he was awesome. I interviewed him right before I left a couple days ago, and 90 years old and just going strong.
New perspective on life now that he's been in space.
Yeah, it's some interesting. You'll hear it in the interview, but I said, I want you to walk me right through every facet of getting into the rocket ship, what you were thinking, how long on the way up, how long on the way down, like
probably
what you did.
4 or 5 hours of, you know, physical tests. Talk about to the meters. And
I was going to say, they had to have some concern that, you know, his ticker might not be able to handle that sort of pressure, right?
He went down, I guess, a couple days early, did a bunch of testing and all that. But it was really insightful and really interesting. And also, talked a little shit about George Takei, so we got that coming up. First, I'll tell you about Indochino. People are, they're a little too into wearing sweatpants. I got used to the old kind of sweatpants. Never been a better time to upgrade your look with Indochino's Black Friday event. Has their lowest prices of the year on suits and shorts and outerwear. Plus, you can save even more with the code Adam. I wear their stuff all the time. I wore them on TV shows. I wear it on Kimmel all the time. You can get it customized. You can measure yourself on the website. Just takes about 10 minutes. Every piece is made to your exact measurements. Customize every detail. Get your suit in 3 to 4 weeks. Indochino suits start at just $2.99. Shirts from $45. All customizations included. The stuff is high-end. It's nice. I wear it all the time. It's Indochino, right, Dawson?
Get away from the video calls and back into looking and feeling amazing. Indochino's Black Friday event runs from November 8th to the 29th. Save even more and get $50 off any purchase of $3.99 or more by using promo code Adam at Indochino.com. It's $50 off a purchase of $3.99 or more at Indochino.com. Promo code Adam.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back with some form of the news right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Adam. It's not divisive, it's divisive. And I got another one for you. It's not ideology, it's ideology. Fucking idiot. Get it on, man.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Yeah, if you hang around long enough, it was the Cannes Film Festival, and then it became the Cannes Film Festival, and then I think it went back to Cannes, at some point. The whole idea is to correct people who aren't in the know. It's not the name. It's not like, is it Can or is it Con? It's
keep them guessing.
You have to correct those around you, like Brian's grandmother used to do, and mine as well.
People like that just fascinate me. The guy's sitting at home. He's like, this is my moment. I'm going
to
call and tell them how fucking dumb they are.
set these people straight.
Here's what I do. Because in the liquor business, not that I'm in the liquor business, but people mispronounce names all the time of spirits. I'll give you a great example. O-B-A-N, the Scotch. O-B-A-N. How do you say that?
Oban.
Oban. That's what a lot of people say. It's not Oban. It's not Oban. It's Oban. So what I do, rather than say, you fucking idiot, you would say, oh, I like Oban. I go, oh, I like Oban too.
Right.
And hoping that you would recognize me as the, and you go, oh, he's saying Oban.
Right.
You get, you know, you get a lot of, especially with Scotches.
People, you, this is the exact opposite of people, and they're super fucking annoying. I don't know why this annoys the shit out of me so much, but when you go, is it, do we say your name Kirsty? And they go, Kirsty. And you're like, hey, cunt, didn't I just say
that?
Yes
or no question?
Just say yes, because now you're making me feel like I screwed it up, but I didn't. These are the same people when you go, flight leaves Burbank, 4:30, right? And they go, it's a 4:30 flight. It's like, oh, okay, you're right again. Yeah. Except you could just say affirmative or right.
That's right.
Or yes. That's right. But
they
no,
need to be the
can't
one.
Be right. They need to be the one. Yes. It's interesting because Brian's got a mean grandma, and I had a mean, we both had mean grandmas, and one of the things they like to do is correct. A lot of pronunciation, constantly. A lot of corrections, and a lot of sort of, just this kind of this weird thing where if you said, you know, we should eat dinner at 6 o'clock, they'd go, we should do dinner at 6. That's the way I'd like to do it. Like, somehow they have to own everything. It's weird because it always feels insecure. Like, why are you wrestling over syllables? You know what I mean? Like, just let the person say what they say.
Or some minor improvement that they think it makes them like, oh, she did dinner at 6. 6:05. It's like, huge difference. That's night and day.
You know, it was funny. I always think about it. It should be... we don't make much of it, but it was pretty interesting in that when I did Celebrity Apprentice, Penn Jillette, who likes to correct, he's a corrector. Mm-hmm. He knows how to pronounce everything. My grandmother would always go, it's not hors d'oeuvre, it's hors d'oeuvre. And I'd go, okay, I don't know what it is. But all I know is everyone says hors d'oeuvre. She's like, well, they're wrong. And I'm like, okay, but if I say hors d'oeuvre, then everyone's going to think I'm wrong. Sure. So I will just join in with everyone else. But we did,
it was Forte.
Right. One of the teams in Celebrity Apprentice was Forte. And Penn kept saying, they're not pronouncing it right. It's Fort.
Forte.
Well, my argument is, if everyone says Forte, then it's Forte. That's the way it is.
There's a car and a football player currently named this thing, and we pronounce it Forte.
Right. It's just Forte. Yeah. Not because I think it's Forte, just because everyone else says it's Forte, and thus it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, you may be technically correct in that it isn't Forte, it's Fort. But anyway, we were on the other team, and at some point he got traded to Forte. So now he had to go live with the Forte people who were mispronouncing Fort and calling it Forte. It was interesting when we were trying to name our teams, because I was like, Honey Badgers, come on. You know, and everyone's like, that doesn't feel, you know, like everyone got really serious about it. But I was just like, let's give ourselves a funny name.
That's fun.
I was at a party last night and I was talking about the Père Lachaise, which is the cemetery in Paris. And there was a French woman at the party. And we're talking about who's buried there. And obviously Jim Morrison's buried there, Oscar Wilde. And I said, Delacroix. And she said, it's Delacroix. I was like, not here, it's not.
I had a similar experience with a friend's then fiance, now wife, and she's Swiss, and we're talking about, you guys know the restaurant downtown, the sausage place, Verskouche.
No.
A restaurant?
It's a restaurant. It's downtown LA.
Verskouche, there's one in Venice.
It's a popular, for people outside the area, it's a popular LA eatery, or they specialize in sausage, rattlesnake sausage, alligator sausage, like exotic sausages. It's really good. Anyway, and we're talking about it, and we're saying, we went to Verskouche, and her being Swiss, she goes, guys, I can't let this go on anymore. It's pronounced Verskouche. And we're like, listen, that's great. I'm sure that's how it's pronounced. I will call the restaurant right now, and however they answer the phone is how we're pronouncing it with the rest of our lives.
And they
didn't go well.
What did she say was Verskouche?
It's like Verskouche.
Yeah.
Max Best. So Gina got caught up in the marathon.
Yeah, the freeways are just shit
right now. I don't know
what
Andy's time was. could figure that out.
Yeah.
Pretty good. I mean, you run a marathon, you're better than me. But sure. You do it in under 4 hours, and you're 5 hours, you're really cooking. So, Max, Patty, you're going to grab a few news stories before we get to Shatner?
Yeah, let's do it. So we'll start this one off. This is a huge story over the weekend. At least 8 people died, and hundreds more were injured in a stampede of fans at a Travis Scott concert in Houston Friday night. The first night of the rapper's two-night Astroworld Festival drew a crowd of about 50,000 people to NRG Park. According to TMZ, fans started pushing toward the stage when Travis was performing, causing panic in the crowd. Security and medics had to rush in to rescue people who've been crushed or were passed out, and the show was stopped. Hundreds more were treated for injuries at a field hospital near the venue. The second night of the festival was canceled. The story's still developing, but authorities are looking into reports that someone in the crowd was injecting people with some sort of drug, and that's what caused the panic. But here's a statement from the police chief regarding that.
I will tell you, one of the narratives was
he played high school
some
ball.
Individual was injecting other people with drugs. We do have a report of a security officer, according to the medical staff that was out and treated him last night, that he was reaching over to restrain or grab a citizen, and he felt a prick in his neck. When he was examined, he went unconscious. They administered Narcan. He was revived, and the medical staff did notice a prick that was similar to a prick that you would get if somebody's trying to inject. That is one part of it.
Damn.
Yeah, we were just doing this story out of England, right? And we were sort of saying Gina was doing it, I don't know, a week ago in her news, and she's like, someone's been injecting somebody.
No shit.
Remember that?
No.
She did, we talked about it. She was like talking about, I think it was out of England, so it was going into nightclubs and you know, because we were talking about roofing women,
but I was saying,
you know, you got to roofie a woman. You can't inject her. She's going to feel it. You have to slide into the drink.
Why would you do that? Why would you prick somebody when you can, if you want to get them all fucked up, you can just easily put something in their liqueur.
That's what I was saying.
Hey, wait a minute.
Hey, how you feeling over there now, guys?
That's good.
Yes.
That guy looked exactly, I know this is, I don't want to make the trend, but that guy looked exactly like Barry Sanders, that police chief. Barry Sanders?
Younger Barry.
Got into law?
So.
Got to do something.
Yeah.
I wonder if, so I was saying to Gina when she was doing the news, I was like, oh, come on, who's doing that? Well, maybe it's a thing now. And now, maybe it's all the, maybe we're numb to vaccines now. Yeah. Maybe I've seen so much footage of so many people getting jabbed in the arm over the last year and a half. Like, maybe we're like, well, here's what I'm saying.
Guy slinking around with a syringe. You're like, yeah, you know, helpful citizen.
Yeah. Well, if you think about it, a lot of the stuff, like, you know, the mind will work this way. So, like, if you're listening to a radio commercial in your car and they're talking about injury attorneys, and they'll go, he'll go, it's imperative that you get the right kind of counsel if you're injured in a car crash. And then the phone rings and someone calls and you pick up and they go, hey, what do you want to do for lunch? And you go, it's imperative that we go to Arby's. Like, because sure. You just heard this word. It's kind of in your head.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You just parrot it. I wonder if there's been so much syringe jab talk over the last, you know, year. I wonder if people are like sitting home going, yeah, what's with the syringe? Like, what do we do with that? Like, how come we're not taking it on the road? Like, how come we're not bringing it to concerts? Like, it just seems like it's been implanted in people's heads now. And so I guess someone was getting jabbed, and that caused the panic, I guess.
Well, here's the thing that bothers me is, and maybe I'm idealizing the past, but it always felt like drugs were like a safe space. And I say this because, you know, we've heard all the stories about cocaine now. They're cutting it with fentanyl.
Right.
And it's killing a lot of people. And I'm not that I'm advocating doing cocaine, but I'm saying that used to me, it would seem like that's the one thing. They wouldn't fuck with your drug. They wouldn't fuck with your drugs.
That's, you know, what I mean?
Like, because, so I wonder, could it be the government doing this? Could it be? I'm sorry to go down the conspiracy. Like, why would Why would the cocaine people be like, you know what, let's put this thing in here that's going to kill people?
I said the same thing.
You would think the cartels would be like, hey, quit doing that shit, because people are going to stop buying cocaine.
It's bad for business. Yeah. If you're trying to kill Americans, it's extremely inefficient.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, hopefully enough get a hold of this laced cocaine that makes a difference.
And maybe this guy going around with the needles is like, you know what, if I make people seem like they're fucking crazy on drugs, there's going to be more of a crackdown.
Mm.
I don't know.
Where was Fauci during that festival?
Where was he?
Was he in that crowd? All right. What else you got? So sad.
Yeah.
But are people crushed? Are they having cardiac events?
There was several were crushed. I read a story about it. A guy said there was a woman next to him, and people were literally just running over top of her. And she was one of, you know, he pulled her up off the ground, but she was dead.
Travis Scott is huge, by the way. He comes out with those McDonald's meals. Mm. Have you seen those?
No.
Travis Scott does like the Travis Scott McDonald meal.
Really?
Like it'd be like the Happy Meal. Yeah, I think we've talked about it in years past, but
yeah.
It's really the Travis Scott meal is a Big Mac, fries, and like an cherry Coke.
It's
like
a medium Sprite, a quarter pounder with bacon, and fries with barbecue sauce.
Ooh, that
all right, but that's just you dumping, you getting a packet of barbecue sauce.
Doesn't make it the Travis Scott edition.
You got it from the McNuggets bin, right? And you just put it, like, it's not really his own meal. That's just kind of, we have Sprite. Anyway, these things
really
like
twist.
They like sell out, right? They're like people wait in line.
Yeah, Scott reportedly made $20 million from this deal.
Could this not very easily be assembled from other parts?
Yeah,
why is it sold out?
All right, the most exotic thing you did in the Travis Scott meal is put bacon on a hamburger, which is something you can get on every corner in every city in the world. Other than that, it's fries and then a Sprite. And then the dipping sauce is just McNugget
instead of ketchup,
which I don't sleep on fries and barbecue sauce, by the way. But yes. I'm just saying, why does this get to be his meal? $20 million. You want to talk about light lifting?
Seriously.
Here's what I ordered.
You could say he's crushing it.
Yeah. Too soon.
Too soon. All right. My bad. Sorry.
Have some more liqueur.
I don't know.
It's the liqueur talking. I get bitter and angry when I'm drinking ginger liqueur.
Does it come with a little figurine or something, or is it just?
It's a normal meal. There's nothing about that that says Travis Scott.
No, I know. Except for there's $20 million.
$20 million.
That says it is.
In the advertisement, there is a figurine.
I don't think
it comes with that.
It's in the commercial.
It.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
All right, you want to do the next story here? All right, Aaron Rodgers, also in the news over the weekend. Purveya Health announced Saturday it's ending its partnership with Green Bay Packers QB Aaron Rodgers after he defended his decision to remain unvaccinated. Fox News reports that Rodgers, who tested positive for COVID-19 earlier this week, had been a spokesman for the health company since 2012. This all went down day after an interview he gave on the Pat McAfee show where he defended his decision to remain unvaccinated and claimed that he had conducted his own research on the vaccine. Rogers said that though he is allergic to an ingredient found in the Moderna and Pfizer vaccine, he has also opted out of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, citing concerns over fertility. The CDC said that there's no evidence that COVID-19 vaccination causes a loss of fertility and recommends people planning on having a child still get vaccinated. But here is the 90-second clip of the interview that is getting the most attention.
I realize I'm in the crosshairs of the woke mob right now. So before my final nail gets put in my cancel culture casket, I think I'd like to set the record straight on so many of the blatant lies that are out there about myself right now. And I appreciate the opportunity to tell my side of the story on here. First of all, I didn't lie in the initial press conference. During that time, it was a very, witch hunt that was going on across the league where everybody in the media was so concerned about who was vaccinated and who wasn't and what that meant and who was being selfish and who would talk about it and what it meant if they said it's a personal decision, they shouldn't have to disclose their own medical information and whatnot. And at the time, my plan was to say that I've been immunized. It wasn't some sort of ruse or lie, it was the truth. And I'll get into the whole immunization in a second. But had there been a follow-up to my statement that I've been immunized, I would have responded with this. I would have said, look, I'm not, you know, some sort of anti-vax flat earther. I am somebody who's a critical thinker. You guys know me. I march to the beat of my own drum. I believe strongly in bodily autonomy and the ability to make choices for your body, not to have to acquiesce to some woke culture or crazed, you know, group of individuals who say you have to do something. Health is not a one-size-fits-all for everybody.
I kind of, yeah, so it's interesting. So he's going to lose all his sponsors.
I was going to say, what's the over-under on that girlfriend breaking up with him?
You know, no. She's driving the train.
Really?
She's nutty.
Oh, she is?
She's like super liberal, like, right? She, you know.
She's very of the earth, you know what I mean?
Shailene Woodley.
A lot of, like,
My grandmother said Shailene.
I think she's very anti-vax as well.
We spent a considerable amount of time at dinner last night trying to figure out if she was hot or not.
I think she's attractive, yeah.
We've decided sometimes she is and sometimes she isn't.
She's a phaser.
Yeah, there's some models, some actresses where you go, oh my God, look at her. And then you see her in another picture and you're like, not so much. She has.
I think she's pretty. I mean, and she's a great actress. I was kind of partial to his Olivia Munn. He dated her. I think she's more my speed.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not either one of their speed.
Think she's driving this thing?
I would have thought that it would have been the opposite. But if you're saying she's, maybe you're right. Maybe
she's wrong.
No,
throwing it out there. I don't know.
I mean, I'm sure she. Obviously, she's aware that he wasn't vaccinated. So yeah. Okay.
Well, let's just reverse engineer it. If she wanted him to be vaccinated, he'd probably be vaccinated. Because live with somebody and they're fucking putting up a stink about, you know, I had to deal with this, you know, it's my daughter's, you know, take your shoes off before you come in the house or whatever, you know, in the height of COVID, it was a lot of wiping shit down and taking the shoes off and all the nonsense that turned out to be bullshit that I knew was bullshit. I still kicked the shoes off because you just don't want to deal with it and you'd like to get laid. Yeah. Not with the daughter. Not as much anymore.
It's like, whoa, but this took a dark turn.
No, if you're Aaron, you know what I mean? Like, if the old lady wants you to get vaccinated, you're probably going to get vaccinated. Just not to deal. Right. But first off, you'd like some sex occasionally, occasional blowjob. You can't, you're not going to be welcome in the house. She's going to be freaked out because you go to practice all day, then you come home. So she definitely isn't into the vaccination.
And I also, Dan, you mentioned you think she's super liberal. I think very liberal and very conservative people, at least as it pertains to vaccinations now, are kind of meeting in the middle. You know, they're getting so far out, they're coming back around and meeting like at a common point, because aside from the, you know, bingo card of, you know, right-wing talking points, the woke mob and the, you know, this and all the catchphrases, the transcript of that could have been Alyssa Milano or Rose McGowan. You know, doing my own research.
True,
body autonomy. It's like that is a very specific point of view.
Look, I'm vaccinated. But I'm already at this point now. I'm questioning a lot of. You know, we were out the other night eating, and there's 20 feet between my table and the door. Why the fuck do I have to put a mask on? No one here, like. Everybody's, when we sit down, like, how does air work? You know, like, why do I need to put the mask on? What's the messaging here? If the vaccine works and I'm vaccinated, why can't I just walk out the door, like, without putting my mask on to go that 20 feet?
I just got off an airplane and there was no mask. I mean, once, you know, they do the preliminary, hey, you got to wear your mask, federal code, radiation, blah, blah, blah. They never brought it up again. Now, you get certain flight crews that really are into it and then some that are super lazy. Laissez-faire. So it all kind of, it's not much of a science. The mask, it's just a lot of who's going to enforce it and who's not. And some people care and some people don't. But Aaron Rodgers might end up being interesting. Like the Manning brothers have turned out to be much more interesting than I thought they would have been
as a personality
during their playing days. Eli was a flatliner. Peyton was a flatliner. Now they're cracking wise.
They're doing fun play.
They're great on that
funny.
Thing. I just want, yeah.
They're busting chops. Like, maybe there's a second act. Like, maybe he's going to do something interesting.
I mean, I like Aaron Rodgers. I watched him on, I'm a huge Jeopardy fan, and I watched him when he was, and I thought he was fantastic. I mean, the guy's very smart. He's polished. He's got, you know, and I don't necessarily agree with the stance on the vaccine, but, you know, look, man, he's a professional athlete. He's got, his body is how he makes his living, and
he's an interesting guy in that the guys that are comfortable in their own skin, when you watch him play, he plays comfortably.
Yes.
Yeah.
He does very smooth. Like Muhammad Ali was a great athlete because he was comfortable. You know what I mean?
He's rarely rushed or caught off guard. I mean,
right.
Of course, he gets sacked once in a while. You know what I'm saying? He's in control.
Right, but there's a fluidity to his life, which seems to permeate in all facets of his life. But you can see him play. He plays how he kind of lives his life. Never seems to be flustered.
Yeah,
he's
not easily ruffled. What I'm curious about, and when this show, by the time this show drops, the game will have been over. But Love, the kid that's taken over for him in the game that he can't play today, that was the whole beef. That's why he wasn't going to come back to Green Bay, because they drafted a quarterback in the first round after he won the MVP.
Right.
Understandably going, what the fuck's this all about? I would be really curious to see what happens if Jordan Love comes in and plays an awesome game and Green Bay wins.
Yeah,
intrigue.
What does that do? Because I don't think he's going to play another season anyway for Green Bay after this. But
he was almost on his way up before the year.
We said he wasn't going to play, and then now he's playing at MVP level again because that's who he is. But what if this is Wally Pipp? What is one of those moments where he this kid comes in and plays really well?
Yeah. I should tell you that Andy's time, Gina's husband, in the marathon was 4 hours and 25 minutes.
That's pretty damn good.
And she said he didn't even train for this. Not his best time. So she's already kind of.
I like that in a woman. Yeah. But it's funny. I said, you do a marathon under 4 hours or whatever, and then I think I added one. He landed right in the middle.
4:20.
Good.
How much liqueur can he handle, though?
Yeah, seriously, be some now.
Yeah, bring him into our arena. See.
All right, let's do one more, Max Pata.
Sure. Harry Styles. He paused his St. Louis show the other night to lend a hand to a fan who'd asked him for help. After finishing the song Lights Up, Harry used the thousands of lit-up cell phones to read signs being held up by audience members, including one that read, "My mom is in section 201. Help me come out." Harry walked over to the young woman, asked her for her name and her mom's name, and then this happened.
Okay. Do you want to tell her or should I tell her?
Oh, he's wearing nail polish.
I can tell, yeah.
Is he wearing a dress?
Excuse me.
He's wearing the big David Bowie pants.
Lisa! She's gay!
All right. We're done as a country.
Yeah, Lisa burst into tears and blew kisses to her daughter.
Oh, so wait, she went with her mom? But they didn't sit
together. Mom gets the shitty seats.
Yeah, my first concert was a Blink-182 concert. My mom took me, and there was like a parents section for her and all the parents to go.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
My mom took me to my first concert.
Yeah, me too. Kiss.
Well, my parents, I should say.
But I've definitely...
The Baileys in the back.
I thought they were supposed to drop you off and then pick you up. I didn't know they went in. I thought that was the parent.
I think they wanted to see Billy Joel, too.
You're underestimating the allure of Harry Styles.
That's true.
All the ladies like him. Old and young.
They do, and the more nail polish and the more dresses he dons, the more the ladies like him. Which I guess, for ladies, it's kind of like, well, there's a dude, I like dudes, and then I like dresses, and I like nail polish, so there's a dude with dresses and a nail polish, and I like him more. But I don't think it works the other way around. Like, I don't think, I'm so attracted to that woman because she's got that football helmet on. Like, it just doesn't feel the same. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, you know, I like a woman that knows how to tackle.
All right, should we bring it home, Max Bad? We got Shatner queued
up
and waiting to go.
All right.
Bill Shatner coming on for a very revealing interview. Dan Dunn, again, live show coming up in NYC this Friday, November 12th. Big Jay Oakerson's going to be on that as well. The Stand, NYC.com, is where you go. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with, who did I say? Oh, Shatner. Yeah, Bill Shatner, right after this.
Things I thought could never happen. Me in a punk band?
What?
We Are Lady Parts, a new original comedy streaming only on Peacock.
A confused mix of hash anthems and sour girl power. Syra, vocals. Aisha, drummer. Bisma, bassist. Mumtaz, band manager. And me, Amina, lead guitar.
You were really good until you puked all over the front row.
Ew.
We Are Lady Parts. All episodes streaming now. Only on Peacock.
It's that time of year again. Time to decide, have you been naughty or have you been nice? Of course, you've been nice. Head to Driveway.com now and upgrade your sleigh. When you buy from Driveway, there's no pressure or haggling. We offer our best price up front, online financing options, and a worry-free 7-day or 400-mile money-back guarantee. That's Driveway, an easy car buying experience that's delivered right to your, well, like the name says, Driveway.